Here at Daytona, it's been all NASCAR all week. And what they've learned about the car from the Sprint Unlimited will be invaluable.
The main thing about that, no points on the line. So it's kind of a learn what you can and get out there in a big group.
For the next 3 days,
Racetime Radio
will bring you all the action of Speed Weeks,
the Camping World Trucks,
the Nick Series,
and Sprint Cup,
all the way up to the Great American Race,
the Daytona 500.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
From preview
to review,
you'll hear it all right here on Racetime Radio. Today, it's the duels.
And now, to bring you up to speed and taking you one step closer to race time,
your host, Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio Live today from Daytona International Speedway, the Fan Zone. This is where it's going to take place tonight, everybody. I'll tell you what, we have a beautiful day at Daytona International Speedway. Crystal clear blue skies, temperatures somewhere in the 70s. Got to be fairly close to that anyway. Got a busy program lined up for you here today. We're going to hear from Michael McDowell. Michael, real fast in last night's final practice, or what was going to be final practice. There's another one on the racetrack today. And then, of course, tonight it is the Can-Am Duels. We got two races, 60 laps for each race. You're going to see race number one, and then shortly after, race number two is going to pop out. I believe it gets underway right around that 6 or 7 p.m. Eastern time. And, of course, our good friends at Sirius NASCAR Radio will have a pre-race program that you're going to want to tune into on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. But until then, what do you say you spend the next 2 hours right here on Racetime Radio with us? I'll take you out to New Smyrna Speedway for some short track racing action. Of course, it's the 50th annual, or the 50th running, I should say, of the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. And man, oh man, what a scenario we got going on out there. We got lots of super late models, lots of pro late models. Last night, the SK Tour Type Modifieds took to the racetrack. The Florida Modifieds are also out there. Got some clips from some of the winners. Have top three from night number five, I do believe, with the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. You're going to hear from some real big names in short track racing that are soon going to be some pretty big names here at the World Center of Racing. Man, what a beautiful day here. A little bit later in the show, we're going to hear, as I mentioned, from Michael McDowell. He was fast time yesterday with a 200.174 mile per hour lap around this big, beautiful racetrack. He got out of here unscathed. They ran the fast time, found out the information they needed, and then they took that number 59 back to the garage area, put a cover on it. A little earlier today, walking through the garage area, stopped by that pit, had a good look around. The guys from RCR Engines were there checking the motor out. You could see the team working on the race car. Not a lot going on around it, but in the same respect, they were looking at it and getting things ready to go for tonight's Can-Am Duel. Michael McDowell, one of those drivers that has to get in to the Daytona 500 through the Can-Am Duel tonight. He needs to place right up there. May not necessarily have to win the race, but he is going to have to be up far enough that will put Michael into the 58th running of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. It's going to be an interesting race in race number one. We'll go through the starting lineup in just a few moments. But what do you say before we do that, we take a look at the at New Smyrna Speedway and play off some of these clips that I've got to know a lot of listeners to Racetime Radio or short track race fans. You want to hear from some of those guys that are out at New Smyrna. First driver you're going to hear from, Derek Thorne. Everyone knows Derek as the NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series East champion, West. And Derek has got double duty going on out at New Smyrna Speedway. I caught up with him the other night. Here's what we had to talk about. Here's Derek Thorne.
Derek,
Derek, you're going to be a busy guy here, man. You got two cars, both of them qualified right up in the top five tonight. Both looking great.
It feels good. You know, we speed weeks or World Series of Asphalt. I'm not sure which one you call it, but it's my first one here and my first one with the Jet family. We got a new Van Dorn chassis and a super late side, and we got Butch Van Dorn here helping us out. And first couple nights, we chased track a little bit. You know, we didn't quite get the qualifying efforts we were hoping for. Last night or the night before last, we got a fourth place finish, which we were happy with, but you know, still trying to find some speed. And I think today we're kind of knocking closer, you know, to where we need to be. And we qualified in the top three in the super and top two in the pro. So I feel like as a team, we're kind of gaining some momentum, and hopefully we can kind of keep the ball rolling.
It's a fast track, isn't it?
Oh man, it is. It's so unique too. You know, it's one of those places you come to that it is. There is a line, there is a groove, there's a place to race and a place not to race, and it's one of them things where if your car's off a little bit, you know, you can find some grooves and some characteristics in this place to kind of help you get around here, but if you don't know where those are at, you can face a long night.
These cars are a lot more nimble, a lot more responsive than probably that K&N car, I bet.
Oh, so much more. You know, these cars here, I think I was adding up, they're about 400 to 500 pounds lighter. They're 4 inches, 3 inches wider themselves, the track width, and then their wheelbase is shorter. And the bodies are lighter, the frames are lighter, everything about them just meant for speed, you know. So they drive more like a slot car versus the K&N car. I'd compare more to like a taxi cab, you know. It's a very top-heavy car. Tires are a little bit different, feels a little bit different. Everything about it, truck arm, suspension, and the K&N stuff. So coming here, a place like this, going back and forth, definitely changes up the way the characteristics of the cars handle.
Could be amazing all week long. Fans can expect to come out and see you race out here. Let's go past Speed Weeks. What do you got planned for 2016? Where are you going to be?
It's a fortunate year again. You know, I've been very fortunate to drive for Campbell Motorsports on the West Coast, and we have between 10 and 14 races lined up this year between the SRL Southwest Tour and some open comp shows. Try to make it back out here for the Derby. And then the Jet family has been kind enough to offer me between 4 and 7 races before the year's out. You know, here, starting here, possibly off Alabama, come back here for the Governor's Cup. Some bigger races like that, possibly the All-American 400. So that'll keep me busy back home. We got a new teammate, Carlos Vieira, and 5150, and a new Race for Autism campaign that we're helping try to support and push. And, you know, looking forward to the new teammate, looking forward to staying busy, trying to keep my wife happy, of course. But everything's been going good.
Look, you're going to be swinging. You're swinging for the fences now. Valentine's Day, and you're racing.
Oh, no. I'll probably be in the doghouse when I get home, but hopefully she forgives me.
Join the club. That's the way to concrete a sponsor. That's a good way to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Can't help. You just can't. At the end of the day, you just can't thank them enough. You know, they do so much. They'll have an opportunity to be able to do this and come out here and race. My first one. It's been on my bucket list for over a decade, and to be able to come out here and do it, you know, it's a dream come true. To be able to win last night or two nights ago is awesome, and to be able to continue to have a good time, race up front, and race for wins. What more could a racer ask for?
I'll tell you, Derek Thorne, one of those crafty veterans in behind the wheel. He's not an old guy by any stretch. Derek, a young driver that has got a very, very healthy-looking career coming on. He is busy here at Speed Week. Seen him last night. Ran in the Pro Late Model class and didn't do too bad. I believe he came away with a top five finish. The competition down here at this year's World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing out at New Smyrna Speedway is just incredible. It's very, very deep. We do have some Canadian participants, and it wasn't a very good night for Donald Tige the other night, driver of the number 80 from Quebec. He rolled in the gate, didn't get a lot of practice time, and ended up tearing up his number 80. Got a quick word with Derek before we get into the top five. Let's hear from Donald Tige. Here he is.
Well, Donald Tige, this isn't the way you wanted to end this night. Looks like the 80's got some repair work. What happened, bud?
We didn't have a fast car for the heat race, but I think the car was going very well on the feature. We're running in the middle of the pack, and we're passing two cars on the outside, and somebody hit me on my left front wheel. I don't know why, you know. I think that those bunch of guys are very crazy, and, you know, when we start in the rear and you see that in the field, you know, I think some driver need to learn how to race.
Yeah, tough deal. It's fast here at New Smyrna. You're used to this place. You know your way around, but it is a relentless racetrack. It happens quick here, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, We came here only yesterday, though, so, and all those guys, they were here since last Thursday. So, you know, we can be better, and I don't know if we're going to come back. You know, we hit the wall so hard, so we're gonna see all the damage tomorrow morning. But, you know, that's a fast track. I love it. But, you know, we got to race with our head, and some drivers, they don't race with their head, you know.
Yeah, tough, tough deal. A lot of great sponsors on this race car. You guys come all the way in from Quebec. Great to see that support on the machine.
Oh, yeah. You know, we need all those sponsors to help us. And Crazy Horse Racing, they did a great job. You know, Mitch and Mickey and Dennis from Maine, they gave me a good car. And, you know, we knew that we weren't getting some time by the week. But, you know, today was a tough one, and, you know, we'll see if we're going to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, good luck getting it back together. Sure hope to see you back out here representing Canada. You always do a whale of a job for us, bud.
Thank you.
Now, that was Donald Tige from Quebec. Didn't see Donald back in the field last night at New Smyrna Speedway, but don't count him out just yet. We just may see a return of that red number 80 car to the field at New Smyrna Speedway in the super late model class. Time will tell. You never know. He could be racing tonight out there. Some big, big happenings. 100 laps for the pro late models tonight at New Smyrna Speedway. Here at Daytona, we've got the twin Gatorades, or pardon, Gatorades, the Can-Am Duels. They changed the name pretty much every couple of years, and me being the old guy, I sort of fall back into old habits, I guess. And this used to be the Gatorade 125s, now recognized as the Can-Am Duels. We will get to more of the Can-Am Duels in just a few moments. We're talking about New Smyrna Speedway and some of the Canadian contingent. Just before we go green here, I want to put a shout out to the number 56 of Josh Collins, all the way from Newfoundland. Josh is here. Got the car all set up, ran a couple of nights, ended up with a family emergency and had to zip on back all the way back out to Newfoundland. He stepped out of the ride, and Austin Terrio stepped in. Of course, we know that name from the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. He also ran the IWK 250 a few years ago when we had Brad Keselowski out at Riverside International Speedway. Austin Terrio ended up with a top five in that IWK 250, so you know Austin knows his way around short tracks. He did step in and fill in for Josh Collins. He did it for the night, did a great job, ended up with a top five finish, and we're happy to say that Josh Collins is back. He was back in the race car last night, made it back to New Smyrna Speedway, and was back in, and came home with a 12th place finish last night, which was night number six here at the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. Now, another Canadian competitor that is out on that racetrack, out at New Smyrna Speedway, the number 84. It is Martin Lataloup, and I got a quick clip with him. Here he is.
Got Martin Lataloup. Martin, kind of a rough ride for you tonight. You're missing parts of your race car, but things were looking good at the beginning of the race. What happened?
Yeah, unfortunately, we were very unlucky this year. Since three races, we just tried to avoid some wreck, and we just get clipped just on the fenders and the door just to remove all the bodies, so we just lose all the all the downforce. So the car was really good on qualifying run since the beginning, but it seems that on the race trim was okay, so-so. So it's been 2 days, we're just working on race trim, and we started the race, and it was just amazing. But after we lose the door and the rear and the quarter panels, it was just a big pocket of hair. So, yeah. But the car was still good, though.
You need pretty well every tool in the drawer, so to speak, here. It's a fast, fast racetrack, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely one of my favorite racetracks. Yeah.
Got a lot of good help on this race team. I look down there and see NASCAR Canadian Tire Series crew chief champion down there. You got Greg helping you out. You got Chris Mitchell in the pit. You got a lot of good help here.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know Greg before we came here. Me and Chris, we've been friends since several years. And we met here actually in 2011. And he was coming down. He said, hey, I might have a buddy with me, which was Greg. And I think the two of them just are the perfect crew chief that I can imagine.
Yeah, good bonus. Good for you. And it looks like you're having fun with the race car. We still got a few more nights left. You got time to come back.
Oh, yeah, I would like to. With the first race, we have a top five finish. We would like to have another one by the end of the week. But we are really lucky because the first Thursday when we practiced, we bent the clip of the chassis. We have like a mechanical issue. So we fixed it pretty well and it's still very good. Not 100%, but so far it's really good.
Martin, we put a shout out to our friends back in Quebec, French. They're listeners of Racetime Radio too. Give them a shout back home.
Yeah, je voudrais dire salut à tout le monde au Québec qui nous écoute. L'auto est vraiment rapide là. Ici, ça se passe très très bien. On a un petit peu malchanceux, on est accroché à juste sur le devant de la voiture. On touche pas aux roues afin de pogner l'aérodynamique, puis qu'on arrache la porte, l'aile en avant, le quarter en arrière. Mais so far, on s'en va très très bien. On s'amuse, puis on espère finir un beau top 5 d'ici la fin de la semaine encore.
And the good part is, you still got time. You'll be back. Victory Lane's right over there.
Oh yeah, and I would like to thank my mom and the Framco company, all the Framco employees. They support me very well, and so thank you very much for the sponsorship.
Absolutely. Martin, good luck the rest of the way. We're going to be here another night. Hopefully, you and I are talking over there at the Tekkerug.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, what a stacked team. That number 84 has got APC driver Chris Mitchell on that number 84, along with Greg Gibson, winning crew chief and NASCAR Canadian Tire Series champion crew chief of the 22 of Scott Steckley. So lots of guys doing a lot of hard work. Steve Laking also at New Smyrna Speedway coming home last night with a round of top five finish. He was fairly close to it last night. Now, I want to remind everyone, too, that we are, all of our coverage here, presented by Connects to Share. Connects to Share is a new app. You'll hear the ads for it here on Racetime Radio. You got to check that app out. Now, what we intended on trying to pull off this week here, but incredibly short notice for everyone, but we tried to get the staff of Connects to Share here, and we were going to try and live stream everything right from here. It is fairly simple to do with Connects to Share. If you have a look at that app, you'll see exactly what I mean. It is revolutionary, and I'm telling you what, it is going to, in the not-too-distant future, it's going to be right up there with all the big apps that we use each and every day on social media. Cool part about Connects to Share, it is a secure way of communication, whether it's text, whether it's email, whether it's sending photos or videos. As mentioned, you can even live stream audio and video right off your Connects to Share to keep everyone in your group up to date. So get that Connects to Share, and remember to follow Racetime Radio. As time goes on, you're going to see exactly what I mean with Connects to Share, and we're so proud to be involved with Connects to Share. Please have a look at it, download it. You can get to it at connectstoshare.com. Now, further, a little more here with New Smyrna Speedway and the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. Super late models were on the racetrack just a couple of nights ago. Caught the top three at the end of it, and I believe I've got the three hottest drivers on the property at New Smyrna Speedway. Let's hear now from the third place finisher just a couple of nights ago, Stephen Nasse, driver of the number 51. He is from right here at Daytona. And Stephen Nasse, always a threat to win whenever you talk super late model racing and you get close to New Smyrna Speedway. Caught up with Stephen Nasse, ended up with a third place finish the other night. Here he is.
Stephen Nasse down the 51. Stephen, not a bad race. Third spot for you tonight. I know you probably wanted to win this one, but still, you got a great car, and what a show.
Yeah. The most important part is that we got something to work with going into the 100 lapper on Saturday. Just haven't quite got this piece rolling the way we want around this place. So, I mean, to not tear it up every night and to not have to work on, you know, body stuff all night and really be able to work on setup has been a big, big key into us being better and better in our position every night. We're just going to keep working at it. We're going to throw something different at it tomorrow and see if it works. If it doesn't, you know, take it right back off and put this back on there and race it. And that's just what we're going to keep on doing and keep on plugging away. You know, this is a new car. It's the first one we've really had and really tried to work with. So it's just something that we're going to keep on plugging away. We could unload the other one that we know is fast and we know cuts the way we want it to, but we really want to work on this one. So we're really focused into the 100 lapper. We're going to be racing this car all year, so we just got to make it a lot better.
Watching you up turn two, went over there for the last 10 laps, could see the car get a little bit loose off turn two. Was it that way inside the car, or was it just my eyes?
No, you know, definitely, you're just trying to get every little bit out of the car that you can. I mean, you're the last 10 laps to go, you know. I'm trying to sit there, and I'm trying to catch Majeski, and they're trying to leave me. So, I mean, they're up there. I watch them, you know, getting loose, too. It's not a walk in the park for none of us. We're all pushing these cars to the limits and holding on every lap. Burton did a great job tonight. He obviously had a really fast car. Didn't see much twitching out of him. But Majeski was definitely all over, you know, kind of like I was, trying to search and find that fast line. And we settled for second and third tonight, but I definitely think you'll see more out of us.
A real fast number 51, that is Steven Nassi. Watch for his name to be popping up, probably in that victory lane circle over at New Smyrna Speedway through the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. But we're working our way through the top three the other night. And coming up next, you're going to hear from the driver that finished second in the super late model race, the number 91 of Ty Majeski. Here he is. With Ty Majeski now in the 91. Ty, not a bad run out there tonight. Second spot for you at New Smyrna.
Yeah, not at all. Really good run. We started off with a second, won the second night, and now we're second again on the third night. So really good points day for us. 66 and 77 had troubles. So we'll keep our head down, trying to get the car a little bit better. We missed it a little bit tonight. We were really tight through the center and off the corner. That's where Harrison was beating us. Congrats on the win to him. And now make a couple changes tonight and come swinging tomorrow.
Big time at Raw Auto Racing here at New Smyrna. You guys, what a stacked field you're running against this year.
There's a lot of great guys here, as there is every year. So, you know, it means a lot to run up front and as consistent as we are. Still need to get the car a little bit better to compete with some of the guys up front. But we have a couple ideas, and hopefully we'll be good tomorrow.
What's the season looking like for you? You got lots going on, I can well imagine.
Yeah, we have a big season coming up, hopefully with an announcement here in the next couple weeks. You know, we're obviously going to be doing a lot of super late model racing as well, so looking forward to it for sure.
Good luck the rest of the way this week.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
And that is Ty Majeski. He's got some big news coming out. Don't know exactly what it is, but hang in there. I imagine we're going to hear it in the next couple days, as you've referred to there. But going to Victory Lane just the other night, how about a young Harrison Burton? Man, is this kid on fire. He's got a fast car. He knows what he's doing, and I caught up with him in Tech Lane. He was one happy dude. Here he is.
With Harrison Burton tonight, look at this. Victory Lane, that's got to feel good here at New Smyrna Speedway.
Oh, it feels amazing. You know, the guys have worked so hard in this race car to make it as good as it is. You know, we had a car crash in the last race, and, you know, it came back, and this is our backup, and it's just as strong as our primary, if not better. And so that just speaks to the craftsmanship that they put behind these race cars, you know, to where one that we would refer to as our backup is faster than our primary. And, you know, I don't know how to thank them. They've really put their heart and soul into these race cars, and I just can't put it in words how much work they put in.
You know, talk to the two guys that were right behind you, chasing you all night long for 50 laps. They said not a twitch out of that 12 car. Did it feel that good?
Oh, it was awesome. I was a little bit too tight in the center. I'm a race car driver, so I got to find a way to complain, right? But I was a little bit too tight in the center, but, man, did it come out of the corner good. And when I would put down the throttle, the thing was slowing straight up off. And that, to me, is the key to winning these races, is having great drive up off the corner and being able to just get on the gas as hard as you want and not even have to worry about the rear sliding. So, I mean, this thing is... it's fast. That's all I can say. It's just awesome.
Got to have a real set of balls to throw it down into turn one here at New Smyrna, or, you know, into turn number three. Quite a racetrack here.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. This place is it's something special. It really is. You know, it really separates the men from the boys, I think. You know, and I'm saying that at 15, so I don't know which category I fall in there. But, you know, I don't know. I just love this racetrack. I've had a lot of success here. This track has been awesome to us. I think the only car we wrecked here was two nights ago, you know, and I've been coming here for 3 years. So this track has just been so great to us, and I just love it to death.
What's the season looking like for you? You know you're going to be busy all year long. What are you focusing in on after Speed Weeks?
So we'll run the full K&N East schedule as well with you know, as many super late model races as I can fit in there, because I just love these things so much. They're so fun to drive, and not taking anything away from the K&N car, but you know, I just have been driving these for so long, and I've really started to get into it really, and you know, start to thrive in it, that you know, moving is kind of tough. So I you know, we'll run the full K&N East deal and this super late model deal, and we'll run one truck race with KBM in Martinsville in October right after I turn 16. So I'm just so ecstatic to, you know, have an opportunity like that. You know, it's not a lot of people even get to that level, and you know, for me to have that opportunity is just incredible.
Yeah, blow the candles out, grab the steering wheel to that truck, can't wait, right?
Yeah, that would be the best birthday present you could give me at this point. I just love racing more than anything else right now, and I just can't get enough of it.
Some great sponsorship on this race car means a ton to you.
Oh, yeah. I don't think any race car driver would be where they were without sponsors. Obviously, I got Dex Imaging, Toyota, Morton Buildings, and, you know, Konica Minolta is a new addition that will be on our K&N East car and our truck. So really cool to have an international company like Konica, you know, on board, and a hometown company like Dex. You know, they're from Tampa, Florida, so they I'm sure they're watching somewhere. I don't know, I think I might have saw the owner, but I my dad might have not told me, but I think I might have seen him here, so that'd be so cool if he was here to see us get this win. But man, I can't thank them enough.
You're doing them all proud, I'll tell you that right now. Good job, good luck the rest of the way at Speed Weeks. And I know we haven't heard the last of you.
Yes, sir. That sounds good to me. I hope we can make some more noise in Speed Weeks and win some more races, because, you know, there's nothing more fun than winning a race to me.
Future's looking real, real bright for that young driver. It's going to be cool. Watching them, fans, it's going to be real cool. Harrison Burton, I know we haven't heard the last of him on Speed Weeks 2016. But you know what? We're right alongside a break. We are going to step out, take a quick one. And then we will come back to you live from Daytona International Speedway, the world center of racing. Don't forget about the Can-Am duels tonight. We'll be talking lots about that over the next hour and a half here on Race Time, all presented by Connects to Share. Download that app today. Have a quick look at it. We will be back to you live from Daytona. Stay with us.
Race fans, it's the 82 Portinos Dodge, Dave Conley from Ottawa, and you're listening to Race Time Radio. To check us out at a local school, go to fuelforthinking.ca.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
Just imagine an app that has all your favorite features and functions in your social media networks without the rules and regulations that apply. It gives you a secure environment to communicate, to send messages, pictures, video, and live streaming. The Connects to Share mobile app is all that and more. The Connects to Share mobile app is custom designed for iPhone and Android and allows you to integrate your social media networks. The future is in your hands. Download Connects to Share.
Yeah, I've been all over the place. There's rednecks everywhere you go. How many rednecks we have here?
Sirius XM's Blue Collar Radio.
Somebody said one time, you took this word from being an insult into kind of a badge of honor.
You might be a redneck.
And it's hilarious.
When people come backstage and they're like, oh my God, you've been in our house.
My bosom swells with pride. My eyes are moist with tears.
You might be a redneck.
And you've got a hole in both your socks, so welcome to Blue Collar.
Sirius XM 97.
words you don't want to hear when you're racing.
Our blades rolling up big.
Shut it down, get out of it.
But if you do, you'll need the ultimate in fire protection. For over 30 years, Leaf Racewear and Safety Equipment has been manufacturing high-quality, fire-resistant driver suits, undergarments, gloves, and shoes with a full line of seatbelt harness systems. Fuel your passion and confidence. Leaf Racewear ships worldwide. Get the ultimate in protection. Visit LeafRacewear.com.
Everybody have a safe one.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. London Recreational, enjoy life to the fullest at home in your own paradise. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada, visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Champion Power Equipment is a market leader in power generation equipment. Designed and engineered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Champion's product line has expanded to now include dual-fuel portable generators and inverters, home standby generators with whole house technology, V-twin engines, winches, log splitters, and more. With over 2.5 million generators sold in North America, Champion is a market leader. For a full listing of products, visit championpowerequipment.com. Champion Power Equipment, powering your life.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer. From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark.
Hey, shake and bake, gal. Woo, shake and bake.
Here on Racetime Radio.
Sunday.
And it is sunny days here at Daytona International Speedway. We got some action on the racetrack. Going to have some big-time action a little bit later tonight. Don't forget the Can-Am Duels are going to take place at Daytona. Qualifying for the Daytona 500. You finish this race, and where you finish is where you're going to start the 500. As long as you make it into the 500, we've got two open cars, and, of course, the 36 charters have already been filled, and we know that those cars are going to be locked in. We also know that we've got two other cars, one being Matt DiBenedetto. He is locked into the field. And I caught up with Matt just the other day at Media Day. He's pretty excited about being locked into the show tonight. Here is what he had to say. Matt DiBenedetto, look at this. In the Daytona 500. That's got to be a couple bricks off the shoulders.
Man, a couple would be underestimating. I feel a lot better. I slept really good after qualifying on Sunday night, so I was nervous not only for me but for my team because they put in so much hard work into this car, and you know, a lot of things kind of came together for us last second. So excited for our team, Dustless Blasting, everyone at BK Racing, that their hard work, you know, showed up, and we had a TRD engine under the hood. And car had a lot of speed, so it was just a testament to the hard work of the guys. I was just in there holding the steering wheel.
So now, how do you tackle Thursday? You know you're going to be in the big one. What do you do now?
Yeah, it definitely changes our game plan a little bit. You know, before we were kind of planning for the worst and thinking, all right, you know, we're going to have to race our way in. We're going to have to race hard. Now we know we're in, so it just is going to determine our starting position for the 500, which is cool. But me and my crew chief are really overly competitive guys, so as he calls it, we don't like to take the teddy bear approach when it comes to anything. So we still are, you know, knowing how competitive we are, we're probably still going to get up there, race hard. You know, we'll race smart, but we're still out there to win.
Hard work pays off, and you can see that the fruits of your labors already. Getting that fast speed, did you feel it in the car? Did you feel that it was enough?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be close between me and the 59 of Michael McDowell. In practice, our speeds were really close, so we knew we were going to have to massage on the car, do everything we could to crank the last little bit of speed out of it. But when I was out there, I got up through the gears perfect, which was step one. I ran right up against the wall. I felt like I got my speed up really well. And then, you know, I kind of look at my RPMs around the racetrack to see where I am, and judging by the RPMs, it sounded good, felt good, line was good. I didn't hit the apron, do anything crazy. Felt like I ran a good smooth lap, and then the lap time popped up on my digital dash, and it looked good, but I wasn't sure what I needed to run to beat McDowell, and we ended up making it straight in the race by 0.02 of a second. So unbelievable that through all that it came down to that little of a margin.
At Daytona, I know we always look at a lot of the favorites, and Matt, maybe you won't factor into one of those favorites in the hot line, but in the same respect, anything can happen at Daytona. You got to be there to be there. And, you know, we think back to a guy like Derek Cope that won the Daytona 500 here. It's got to give you inspiration to know that it's that it can be done, and you got to have friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a few things working in our favor this year versus last year. You know, we have new cars, so we bought a fleet of cars from Michael Waltrip Racing, so I have a pretty good car. Have you know, for the duels, I have a TRD engine. I'm not sure what we're going to do for the race. We may go back to our Triad engines, which are, you know, are still good pieces. They do great work for us as well. Proud to have them. So, but yeah, you know, and I also lost the dreaded rookie stripes on my back bumper. So, and on top of that, I have a great teammate with David Reagan. Obviously, he's won some restrictor plate races. He brings some great knowledge to our team, great attitude. So. A lot of things combined that I think are going to help me, help us as a team, so we can hopefully get a good run.
This is going to be Matt's year, I got a feeling.
Man, I hope so. I learned a lot last year. Your first year in the Sprint Cup Series is tough. That's a lot to learn, a lot to take in. And luckily, we did have a good, solid season. We ran well for, you know, what we had to work with, and the guys worked really hard. But I think this year, a lot of things seem like they're really looking up. I think we can improve upon our performance from last year as a team, and I can improve upon my performance from a driver's standpoint, and I think we'll have a good year.
Good luck Thursday. Good luck in the 58th annual Daytona 500.
Yeah, thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, that's Matt DiBenedetto, and I'll tell you what, he had a big smile on his face the other day at media day, and for good cause. He's going to be in the 58th running of the Daytona 500. The other open car to lock in, the number 21 car, Ryan Blaney, behind the wheel of the Wood Brother entry. And those guys are also in. So two spots up for grabs tonight in the Can-Am Duels. We got a lot more to get to, but I also got joined here by my teammate for the week here. Of course, Connects this year, presenting all of our live broadcasts. And we got Nick Moncher with us, GMS Racing. And he's a busy, busy guy down here at Daytona. The other day, kind of relaxed, kicked back. He didn't have much to do, but I'll tell you what, the general manager of GMS is a busy and in-demand sort of guy today. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate it. Yeah, Sunday was a little bit of a slower day for us. You know, we got to do that whole live broadcast with Grant and everybody there at the Daytona Beach Resort. But today, much more hectic, busy, 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 lots of schedules to keep.
Yeah, down in the truck garage a little bit earlier today and had a look around. Man, we got a lot of trucks in that garage, like 43 trucks.
43 trucks are here. It's amazing. We haven't seen that many trucks in quite some time, and it's awesome. It's great for the sport, great for the series. But there's going to be a lot of sad people come tomorrow afternoon that have to go home.
Yeah, 11 will leave here today. At Daytona, we're going to start 32 trucks.
Yes, sir.
For the next era 250 that will be under the lights here at the World Center of Racing tomorrow night, Friday night. It's always one of those truck races, Nick, that is somewhat of a crapshoot, but when it gets to those closing laps, the cream always seems to rise to the top.
Absolutely. You never know what's going to happen, just like you and I have been talking about for 2 weeks now. It's Daytona, so it is a crapshoot, but you know, once that everything pans out and once everybody kind of settles down tomorrow, you know, you'll see those really strong cars and trucks, you know, play out, especially if they can start working together. You know, last year we had Ty Dillon in our 33 truck, and we had Spencer Gallagher in our 23 truck, and when they were together, they were unstoppable. You know, Ty sat on the pole, Spencer and Ty could go anywhere on the track. Unfortunately, they got separated, and Spencer got caught up in someone else's mess, so Ty was by himself, and then nobody wanted to work with him.
Yeah,
so he got stuck
yeah.
in the back. But, you know, that's just all how it plays out. Everybody could stay single file, or everybody could go 2x2, they could go 3x3. You never know. It's great.
Yeah, and when you are one of those favorites to win here at Daytona, not always does everybody want to play, right? They want to play with you up until the last couple of laps, and then they drop you like a hot potato.
That is 100% true. And you'd think, you know, and this is us being armchair quarterbacks, we could sit here and say all day long, why wouldn't they want to go two or three wide? Why wouldn't they want to push, you know, the fastest guy or the leader or the favorite? But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they, you know what, we've had a rough race. Sometimes we'd rather just fall in line, get the points, go on to Martinsville, go on to Atlanta, or, you know, we're points racing. So even though there's 23 races in the year, some guys, their mentality is different than others. Some are here just for the trophies. Some are here to make it to Homestead. So it all pans out during that race.
Now, the haulers rolled in here, what, yesterday? You guys were parked.
First thing tomorrow.
You were able to unload the truck, or could you unload it yesterday?
Yep, the haulers got here first thing in the morning. The crews, we all left Statesville, North Carolina on Victory Air, flew down here for their maiden flight down here, and we unloaded, did tech all day. They actually they had so much tech. We weren't involved in it, but NASCAR had to extend the garage period a little bit yesterday just to get everybody through tech for today, and then there was remaining tech this morning, and then right into practice.
Oh, really? So busy times even yesterday for the teams. Now, you got three teams here. We got Grant Enfinger. We've got Johnny Sauter, new to the team this year. And, of course, the crafty veteran in Spencer Gallagher. Three trucks, three separate crews. And I know they're all GMS. It's all one for all. But the last lap of the race, all three of them are going to want to win it. That's got to be some discussion.
There's been plenty of discussion. We have lots of competition meetings each week, and we've had competition meetings already down here. We've sat with the crew chief, sat with the drivers, and you know, it's, look, guys, it's a long race. Let's all work together. Let's all get up there. But at the end of that race, on that last lap, as long as you don't wreck each other,
right,
do whatever you need to do, because at the end of the day, we're not here to dictate what truck wins and what truck doesn't, you know, finish the second or third. You know, in a perfect world, we'd love to have what happened to Hendrick Motorsports a couple years ago where they're 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, that'd be awesome. We'd love that. But the second place, third place guy might not like that. So, you know, we'll see. We let it, you know, kind of play out in their hands those last couple laps. But until then, they better stick with their teammates.
How has practice gone for you so far? What you hear in the background here at Daytona International Speedway is those NASCAR Camping World trucks. They are out on this big 2.5 mile beautiful speedway. We got a slight wind today. How has practice gone for GMS so far?
Practice gone really good for us so far. 33 bunch with Grant, they went right out, did a single truck run, and put it right on. They put it second, actually. And then Johnny in the 21 and Spencer in the 23 did the same thing, and they were right there close with the 33 truck. And then we did a whole drafting session. Got about 10 or 11 trucks out there all together, ran about 6-7 laps together, tried it in the front, tried it in the back, and they ended up really well. So right now, Grant's fourth, and Johnny's fifth on the board, and Spencer's seventh, so it's been really good.
Yeah, you got them all in that top 10. That's where you kind of want to be. Now, where we're located here in the sprint fan zone, we're sort of, well, we are in the infield. We're right in the center. I look across and I can see the big World Center of Racing tower straight across from us. Disadvantage, though, Nick, we can't see the racetrack. We can see the pylon. We can see the fast speed right now is 189 miles an hour. The 17 is up top, but we can't see anything else. We know one thing for sure. It's not single truck runs out there.
Everybody started off with a single truck run because qualifying tomorrow afternoon is single truck. But as soon as that one or two runs they all did, you know, make sure your pressure's right, everywhere, everything's where you need it, it was right into drafting, because at the end of the day, we're all going to be drafting 2x2, 3x3, whatever it may be tomorrow night. So, you know, you may not be able to get to see all this. I still have my earpiece in, so I can hear all the spotters chatting. 33 truck actually is done for this session, getting ready for the next session. 23 trucks waiting on pit road for another big drafting session. So I kind of got a little interesting thing going on here. I got one ear, it's got all the guys talking. I got the other ear, I got you.
Well, I know which one you're focused in on, and I don't blame you a bit. Beautiful day, slight wind. Does that help or does that hurt?
It's a slight wind right here. But let me tell you, when I was standing on top of the hauler watching practice, it was almost a gale force wind.
Really?
And I heard Tyler Green, who's spotting for Grant in the 33 truck, I heard him comment that it was even 10 times worse up on the roof. So the only downside to this wind is that it's going directly down the backstretch from turns 3 to turn 2. So once they exit turn 2 onto the backstretch, they're hitting a brick wall of air. You know, a lot of the drivers want to get that air on the tail and push them down there, but then subsequently they'll hit it on the front stretch. But right now, you know, Grant, even Johnny made a comment about it. As soon as it came off two, it was just boom, when they're the lead truck. Now, if you're in the pack, you can't tell because that lead guy, he's like the goose flying in the flying V. He's taking the brunt of it.
Right. Now, does it make the truck dance around more when you're in the pack and you've got more wind, or does that have any effect on the guys from that second row on back?
The wind does play a huge factor on these trucks. In the draft, they're moving around no matter what, even if it was a completely calm day, just because that wind on these boxy trucks is you know, the air is moving them all around. But when you get a wind like this and you're directly at it, it's pushing so much downforce on the trucks that your hood starts to move around, your flaps start to move around, you can feel your roof flaps start to move around because it's so turbulent around everybody. Now, if they had a crosswind that was hitting them in the door when they were going down the backstretch, it'd make the truck want to dance right and vice versa. So it's all about how they, as a driver, compensate, and all about how the spotter tells them, hey, the flags are doing this, the flags are doing that, so they know.
And, you know, today we are putting up with this wind. The guys are testing, they're tuning. It's a gorgeous day. Crystal clear blue sky. I haven't seen a blue sky like this since, I don't know, maybe August last year up in Canada. I'll tell you, it's a gorgeous day here at Daytona. But tomorrow, from what I can understand, having a look at some of the weather models and stuff, we're not going to have to deal with the wind. Temperature's going to come up a bit. What's that going to do to the setup of those three trucks?
The setup itself won't change too much. Honestly, there will be some setup changes as far as the carburetor goes. So we have our ECR engine tuners per truck, and they're keeping a detailed log of every time this motor's run, whether it be in practice, whether it be just sitting idle in the garage, and they're taking, you know, into account things like temperature, things like wind speed, things like air density, and all that stuff that you see on the Weather Channel and the WeatherChannel.com that I really don't understand, but I know that they're keeping logs of that. And that helps them with the jetting of the carburetor. That helps them with the tuning of the carburetor and vice versa. So they know tomorrow, hey, it's not going to be windy, but it may be, you know, the temperature may be different. So we need to do something a little bit different here.
Right.
And that's all in their hands.
Yeah. So you've got a lot of people here at Daytona with three separate teams. And probably a lot of other connections within those other individual teams. What's it like trying to keep a lid on all of that while you're here?
It's interesting. It's kind of, you know, a little bit like a circus. We always joke that we're kind of part of a traveling circus. We go town to town and we see all the sites and set up and then tear down and go home. But it's interesting. But, you know, here at GMS, we made the comment last year, you know, we had the hashtag one team. We put it on all our Twitter and Facebook and everything like that.
Yeah.
This year it's hashtag we are GMS. So it's the same. So you'll see, you know, when I was walking through the garage coming back over here, there's one of the guys from the 23 Allegiant team. They're running down to the 33, you know, champion team to help grant them guys out with something that they needed. And I saw a 21 guy on top of the 23 hauler. So even though they're wearing different shirts, even though they have different sponsors and are working with different drivers, they really are one team. And it's unique. You know, a lot of teams try to do it. I've seen a lot of teams do it, and I've seen a lot of teams fail at it. And I feel like that we're really doing a good job at it so far this year. Granted, it's only Daytona, but it worked really well for us last year. So I think adding another team really doesn't affect us much. It just gives us that much more depth. You have the engineers, they can work together. Crew chiefs can work together. You know, Mike Beam, our competition director, does a great job after each practice session getting all those core guys down and saying, look, setup A, setups A, B, whatever you guys were running, let's converse. You know, drivers say what you were doing, crew chiefs say what you saw, engineers say what you saw in your data, and so on and forth and so on. So I feel like that's really helped us grow and is going to help us continue to grow.
How critical is setup here at Daytona? We hear all the time on the Fox broadcast or, you know, on Sirius XM NASCAR radio that tires aren't going to be an issue. These guys go out, they put it to the floor, you hold it there. If you lift, you lose. All that kind of stuff, it's not really a setup track. Is it set up like, I know you probably don't tweak on it like you do a normal track or a short track, but is setup critical? You go out, nail the setup, and then there it is?
Well, you know, it's not, like you said, it's not the typical setup. So it's not like a Martinsville or an Atlanta even, where we go next. This is, you know, there's so much of a box that each one of these trucks is in to keep everybody on the same playing field that there's not a whole lot you can do. So, for instance, our rear springs and our rear shocks are actually given to us in tech, and they're sealed. So there's no change in that. There's a few gear options that you're allowed in your rear gear, but everybody has those same few options. So, you know, that's in that bulk there. But you are allowed to do some things to your front shocks, not your front springs, but your front shocks. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to the crew chief then for real minute stuff. You know, how much toe or camber does he want to affect those tires? What does he want to do on the rear tires? Does he want to push them out farther or keep them in? You know, are you rubbing the fenders? all those kind of things. And then the rest just comes down to aero. You know, it just, these things are so aero dependent. And this is different than a cup car because it's a big square box and it punches a big hole in the air. But the air affects it completely different when they're doing those kind of things.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Speed still 189 miles per hour. The 17 truck still up top. Who's in that 17? Is that Timothy Peters?
Yeah, Red Horse Racing.
Knows what he's doing. He's won here before.
He's a veteran, for sure.
He will be a threat to win again. That'll be another. You guys work together. He's a Toyota. Just because they're different manufacturers, do you go with, okay, he's fast, he's comfortable, he's a veteran, we need to work with him?
You know, come race time, the crew chiefs all kind of have that list. It's more of a mental list, but hey, we know our truck, which is a Chevrolet, does really good with this Chevrolet or does really good with this Toyota. And it's really just an aero thing. You know, some trucks, the way their bodies are built, you know, affect our trucks differently, and some are good and some are bad. So they kind of keep a mental note of that. They also keep a mental note of who's in that driver's seat, you know. So they see a Timothy Peters. They know he's won here. They know he's a proven veteran. If it comes down to that race and we're all out on our own and we don't have our teammates and you see Timothy there, absolutely, you're going to jump in with Timothy.
Jump in with him until you come off that final turn here at Daytona.
Don't give our secrets away.
See you later, bud. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break here. When we come back, more with Nick Moncher, GM of GMS Racing. We're going to talk about tonight's races. We've got some big races coming up. The Can-Am Duels live at Daytona. We'll sort of break down the starting lineups for you and maybe give you some of what we have seen this week here at Speed Weeks, which hasn't really been all that much other than a practice here, a practice there, and single run qualifying. We'll find out what everybody's got. But you know what? We're lucky we've got Nick. He can break some stuff down because he's like right on the inside. We'll hit the break. And when we come back, more from Daytona International Speedway, all presented by Connects to Share. Download that app. Check it out. You can do it while we're on break. Go to connectstoshare.com. We'll be back.
SiriusXM.com/NASCAR, the location to vote for your favorite drivers.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.,
Danica Patrick,
Jimmy Johnson.
What shows are on throughout the day on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio?
Good Morning Drive,
Trade Feed,
SiriusXM Speedway,
race schedules, sound clips from your favorite drivers,
and more.
Tune in to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, now available online at SiriusXM.com and on the SiriusXM app for smartphones. SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Words you don't want to hear when you're racing.
Our flames rolling up big.
Shut it down, get out of it.
But if you do, you'll need the ultimate in fire protection. For over 30 years, Leaf Racewear and Safety Equipment has been manufacturing high-quality, fire-resistant driver suits, undergarments, gloves, and shoes with a full line of seatbelt harness systems. Fuel your passion and confidence. Leaf Racewear ships worldwide. Get the ultimate in protection. Visit LeafRacewear.com. Connects to Share is a new mobile application designed to be a one-stop for all digital communication. Join the first social media network built for mobile and send private messages by text, voice, picture, or video. Build a private group for secure communications or public groups to build a following. Connects to Share even offers live streaming. Business accounts include access to the first ever e-shopping platform in a social media network. Go to ConnectsToShare.com. Download Connects to Share from your Apple or Google Play store for free today. Share life as you live it with Connects to Share.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Why not drive for a company that you own? Employee-owned long-haul trucking, each mile on the road means more money in your pocket. Award-winning Long Haul is looking for hardworking owner-operators and company drivers ready for a high-paying career with quality home time. Long Haul invests in you with top pay and benefits and is backed up by a big-time support system. Log on to longhaultrucking.com for details. Running on the power of promises kept, that's Long Haul Trucking.
Speed Weeks 2016 begins right here.
Yeah, I'm excited about the year. Really glad to be in Daytona.
Join Racetime Radio Live for pre-race coverage from Daytona International Speedway.
Looking forward to getting in the car, actually turning some laps and mashing the gas.
All presented by Connects to Share. Share life as you live it. We'll get you set.
What we can get away with, what we can't get away with, you know.
Get to racetimeradio.com for details and to listen live worldwide.
We're back from the world center of speed. It's Racetime Radio live at Daytona. Now, here's your host, Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Hey, y'all having a good time out there.
And welcome back, everybody, live today on Racetime Radio, live from Daytona International Speedway. And we are having a blast here at this racetrack. A big race coming up tonight. The Can-Am Duel at Daytona. Race number one is going to be coming up right around that 7 o'clock mark. So you don't want to miss that race. And in race number one, our next guest is going to play a critical role in that. Got to welcome him here, and real happy to do so. We have got Michael McDowell with us. Michael, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Good lap last night, man. The right time, the right everything. 200.174 miles an hour around this racetrack. The 59 looking good last night, bud.
Yeah, it was good. You know, it's just practice, but we got a good run and in the right group at the right time. And it's pretty cool to average over 200 and kind of break that that barrier here at Daytona Speedway. So, but, you know, tonight obviously is a lot on the line. We got to race our way into the Daytona 500. It's not an easy task, but we got a great car and Thriving Financial and K-Love and the Chevrolet has been really fast. We just got to be smart and be there at the right place.
Well, you got off the racetrack at the right time last night. Things did get a little bit crazy out there, and it was one of those things where a broken line caused a lot of trouble. That can happen to anybody at any time. It's just one of the byproducts, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's why Daytona's so tough is you can do everything right. You can have a fast car. You can be at the right pack at the right time, but you can also be in somebody else's mess, and you can create somebody else's mess real fast. So, you know, it's racing, and that's you don't know who wins the race until the checker flag flies, especially here at Daytona. And you don't know who's in the 500 until the checker flags fly tonight on those Can-Am duels. So it's intense. There's no way to cut it up. It's there's a lot on the line and a lot at stake. And, you know, everybody at Circle Sport, Levine Family Racing, has worked hard in the off season to get us a great start to the year. And I got to do my part tonight.
Tell you what, if I was in Bob's shoes or if I was in Joe Falk's shoes, I'll tell you who I'd want behind the wheel of my race car, and that would be Michael McDowell. I've been here a lot of years, and I've watched your career. I've seen you progress, and I've seen you in real, real high-pressure situations. And, Michael, it just seems to be water off a duck's back on you. You go out, you take the task at hand, and you put it to the wind, and you go out and you do your job. And I've seen you qualify for this Daytona 500 before, where everybody else was saying, oh, Michael McDowell won't be making it. Well, Michael McDowell had something to say about it, and you went out and you did it. You're in another one of those situations tonight. Feel any different than any other ride at Daytona, or are you just going to tackle it exactly the same?
It feels exactly the same it has the last 7 years here. You know, I've never been in a locked-in spot. I've never had that opportunity to come down here, and I wouldn't call it relaxed because you're never relaxing, but I've always had to race my way in, and, you know, it's not easy by any stretch, but at the same time, you know, I've been here before, I know what I have to do, and you just got to execute perfectly.
You guys have had a busy, busy offseason. You alluded to it there. Circle Sport, Levine Family Racing, you guys got a lot going on, but the coolest news that I heard was that you're going to be on pretty well a full-time schedule this year for the first time and ever in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. What's the off-season been like to you? It must be like a whirlwind.
It has been crazy, and there was a time in that off-season we weren't sure what we were going to be able to do, and, you know, everything came together with that alliance with RCR and with Chevrolet and with Circle Sport and put us in a position where we can run full-time, and having partners like Thriving Financial and upping their commitment to the race team, and the same with K-Love, you know, this is something real special. We've been working really hard at it the last, you know, few years to put ourselves in a position where we could be full-time, and to have everything align and everything come together this is definitely the best season we have in front of us.
How hard is it not to go in that garage and get into the 95? And you can look over at the 59, but the K-Love's on it, and Thrivent's on it, but it's got to feel weird being into the 59.
It's definitely different, you know, and it's just part of, you know, this partnership that we were able to put together, and with the alliance with RCR and the support that we're getting, you know, for us to give up a few races for Ty to come on board and strengthen our program is well worth it for me. If you look at the full season, the amount of help and the transparency that's going to happen with RCR, you know, it's just a great program for me to be in. And so to give up five or six races, I don't really feel like I'm giving them up. I feel like I'm gaining, you know, a lot more. And to have our guys full-time and have our team full-time and to have a charter and to, you know, be fighting in the owner's championship, you know, that's what we've all pushed for. So it's a lot of great things.
Talk about a different season. It's just been with everything that has changed, I guess there's something new around the bend every time you go around a corner with NASCAR. But it's got to feel good. Does it feel good to you? Does it feel like you're more stable this year than any other year? What's your feelings on it?
Definitely. I think the charter has brought stability to our sport and to the teams. And I might not feel it today because I got to race my way into the 500. But when I go to Atlanta next week and I'm locked in, I'm going to feel it. That's the first time for me in probably 8 years that I've gone to a race knowing that I'm locked in. So, you know, that's definitely a great thing for myself and for the team. But just the financial stability that the sport has and the direction that we're going, you know, I feel really good, and that's why it was so important. This was a make-or-break year for us, no doubt, going into it, that we needed to be in the sport and be a part of what's happening in NASCAR with the new charter system. And, you know, I really feel like Bob and Sharon and Joe and all of our ownership has, you know, worked extremely hard to make sure that we can stay in the game.
You need skill, you need experience, but you also need a titch of luck.
Not a titch. You need a lot of luck, yeah.
Well, at this racetrack, what do you got for a lucky charm, or do you believe in that?
No, I'm not superstitious. No lucky charms, no green or $50 bills. I don't worry about things like that, you know.
No.
I feel like the good Lord knows exactly how the day is going to play out, and sometimes you're on top and sometimes you're not, and you take the good with the bad, and you live another day, and, you know, hopefully today we're on top.
Okay, well, just... I'm kind of a superstitious guy, and I see you're going to roll off 13, and that is a really, really good lucky number.
Well,
in my sort of way. I know Junior is back at the shop. He's tuned into it. You better tell him to get back to work.
Yeah, he's got to get us some sponsors so we keep going.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Michael, thanks so much for stopping by. I know
you
got a busy, busy schedule lined up here today. We wish you nothing but luck.
Thank you
very
much.
And just take that God-given talent that you got, put it behind the wheel of that 59, go stick it in to the Daytona 500.
Thank you very much. That's the plan.
That is Michael McDowell, driver of the number 59, not the 95 this time around, the 59, and you're going to watch for him tonight in the Can-Am Duels. Nick, this is going to be the race that, leading into the race, some people were saying, the duels aren't going to have as much meaning or as much emphasis in them. Ask Michael McDowell if they've got emphasis.
Oh, it has all the meaning and the emphasis in the world to him and his team. So, you know, and I think that is just going to grow throughout these years with the charter system. You know, Michael made a lot of good points about the charter system, and it's going to bring stability, but there's always going to be, you know, those guys who have to fight for it, and that's what the duels were originally intended for way back when they were created. So now it really emphasizes that. And again, you know, I've said it 1,000 times, it's Daytona, so anything can happen tonight in those races, and you never know what's going to happen.
You never do know. Let's talk about dual race number one. It's going to hit the track. I believe it is 7 o'clock. You may have to check your local listings on that, but it'll be on Fox. Having a look at the front row, it is the 24 of Chase Elliott, the pole sitter for the Daytona 500, and to his outside, the 88 of Dale Earnhardt Jr. So you got two teammates side by side, and you got Chase not wanting to do anything to that number 24 to impede it in any way, shape, or form. We've seen it so many times where the pole sitter has got into that race and maybe cut off early, and then we've seen other years where Dale Earnhardt Jr. himself, a few years ago, I can remember being in here at 8 o'clock on a Friday night, and Jr. was in there fixing his car from tearing it up.
You know, it's crazy because we've all seen that. We've seen both scenarios play out. So if I'm, you know, Mr. Hendrick, and I'm looking at this saying, well, Chase, we really want you to, you know, start P1 Daytona 500 in that car. We don't want anything to happen. But, oh, by the way, you know, your teammate in the 88 is second, and your teammate in the 5 is 8th. So we want you to help make sure they have a really good starting spot for the 500. So what I think will happen, in all honesty, is they'll probably all work together. They'll probably try to make sure they get all their cars, you know, they're all locked in, but give them a real solid starting spot. And if things get hairy, I'd expect to see that 24 peel off. You know, it's just the nature of the beast. You have to. But at the end of the day, Chase is a racer, and he wants that trophy. It doesn't matter if it's a pole trophy, an unlimited trophy, or the 500 trophy. It's a trophy, and you want it.
Yeah, oh, especially after grabbing the pole for the Great American Race, and then to turn around and you'd be taking a page out of Senior's book, coming down here and winning one of the duels, whether it be a Gatorade duel or a Can-Am duel, you definitely want your name on that trophy.
Absolutely. It's, you know, like I said, it's a trophy, and it helps just boost the guys up even more. You know, we're only a few short days away from the 500 now, and you can say, hey, guys, look, you got your pole trophy, you got your Can-Am duel trophy, and you want that big trophy there on Sunday.
And they all fit in that trophy case, guaranteed.
You'll make a trophy case.
Yeah, you would. Row number two tonight in Can-Am Duel Race number one. In that third slot, we got Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in the 17. In the fourth spot, or two Rickies outside, the 21 of Ryan Blaney. One of those guys that is locked in. He locked in on time just the other day. So that is row number two. Row number three is going to be made up of the number three of Austin Dillon, a guy you know real, real good, Nick, and to his outside, the 11 of Denny Hamlin. In row number four, Joey Logano, the 22 Pennzoil Ford, and the number five of Casey Kane. Heard an interesting interview the other day with Dave Moody, I believe, was talking with Rick Hendrick, and there was some question about the number five. You know, fans asking Dave all the time, I guess, or whoever it was interviewing, and I can't exactly remember, but you know, we hear it all the time. What is what's going on with Casey Kane? Is he going to be better this year? What's happening with it? Yeah, Darian Grubb is back on that team, and he's going to be overlooking a lot of stuff. So the five camp, do you expect anything different out of Casey Kane this year, you?
I expect Casey to be strong this year. I really do. You know, every team in the sport goes through a little bit of a lull period, you know, whether teams want to admit it or not. And it's just because everybody is constantly evolving. So at some point in time, somebody who is running 20th each week, they're going to be up front. And then, oh, guess what? You're going to be struggling to be up front because they spent more time, more money, more whatever it was to get to that spot. So then it's just, you know, a constant domino effect. You're just jumping over each other. But it makes you want to be the best that you can possibly be as a team, as a driver, as a sponsor, whatever it may be, because you want to be, you want to win the Daytona 500. You want to go on to Atlanta, and you want to win that race. And, you know, you just have to strive for that next level. And it makes people, you know, just 10 times more competitive.
Yeah, it's got to be tough, too. It'd be great to be teammates with guys like Jimmy Johnson, old six-time, and to be teammates with, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., but you know, when you're the team that isn't getting the results, it's twice the pressure, I would think,
Absolutely.
That it would be on anybody
else. A
lot
of pressure, but it's usually something really small that people don't think of, and they just have to work at it. They have to figure out that one little tweak or that one little engineering marvel, and that other team may have it or they may not have it, but, you know, it all just plays together. It's one puzzle. All the pieces have to fit.
They do so. Row number five tonight in Can-Am Duel Race number one. Looking into that fifth row, the 27 of Paul Menard is going to be lined up right beside the number two of Brad Keselowski. In that sixth row, Greg Biffle, he has done some stuff this week at Speed Weeks, or at least I've seen a renewed sort of look in Greg Biffle's eyes. He's got KFC on the race car.
Absolutely.
It's got a big sign on the front that says hot. I think Greg's that, feeling hot.
He wants that Nashville hot chicken. But, yeah, I think, you know, that's another prime example. You know, Roush, back a couple years ago, you couldn't beat them. You couldn't go to places like Michigan and beat them. And then they kind of fell off. And then people like Hendrick, you know, really got up there. And it's just this domino effect. I think Roush is a prime example. You'll see them be really strong this year. You know, they have a strong, strong lineup of drivers with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Greg Biffle and the likes. And there's no reason they can't compete for wins.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible tonight to see how Greg Biffle can make out. The number 44 this year going to be driven by Brian Scott. good news for Brian Scott, hooked up with Richard Petty Motorsports. That was a real good deal for him.
That's a great deal for Brian. I'm happy for Brian. I've known Brian for a really long time. Did some ARCA stuff with him way back in 07 or 08, somewhere back in there. And actually, we won a pole together in Kentucky. So good for him. I think he'll do some really good things for that team.
Row number 7, of course, we heard from Michael McDowell here just moments ago. Michael will roll off in that 13th starting spot on row number 7. Right beside him, the number 7 of Regan Smith. Talk about a guy that was sort of the odd man out until 2 weeks before, or even less. Regan Smith is going to drive that number 7.
Yeah, right? I'm sure he had a subscription to some Alka-Seltzer, and so he was trying to figure out what was going on, and you know, things were really upside down for him. But it's good to see him land that ride. I think he'll do you know, really help TBR kind of get their stuff back on the right track and get up front, and you know, they'll be contending for some top 15s and top 10s by the end of the year.
In row number 8, we see the number 34 car driven by the 2015 Xfinity Series champion, Chris Buescher. And right beside Chris Buescher, to his outside, is going to be the number 32, 2000 NASCAR Sprint Cup
2000.
Champion. And that is Bobby Labonte. So good to see Bobby Labonte going to be back there for a few races.
It's always good to see a Labonte name. You know, I haven't seen that for a while, so it'll be fun to see. And, you know, Chris, he's got himself an ARCA championship and Xfinity championship now, and he's just hungry for more.
He is. Row number 9, we're going to see the number 6 of Trevor Bayne to his outside. The 15, the guy is always full of energy. Clint Bowyer is going to be to the outside of Trevor Bayne. In row number 10, we got Cole Witt in the 98 and David Reagan in that number 23. David Reagan knows this racetrack, knows how to win here. He's going to be interesting.
This is his kind of racing right here. He likes it. You know, he knows where to go, how to go, and what to do.
In the final row, row 11 for Gatorade. See, I did it again.
Oh, you did it. Can-Am Duel.
Josh Wood is in the number 30, and to his outside, a guy that I personally haven't seen a lot from, the Ford of Kevin Harvick. What's he doing?
Mr. Happy?
Yeah.
You know, they had a rough little tech go there, and so they kind of got themselves behind the eight ball. So I'd expect one of two things, you know, from Ronnie Childers and the Stewart Haas Racing guys. They're going to either just go hard as can be because they want to get up front and they want to, you know, win that duel and they want to get themselves a good spot. Or they're just going to lay back and just play it safe because they've already had a rough go of it. They don't want to tear anything up. They want to make sure they're locked in to a, you know, just a solid spot there in the 500. So it'll go one of two ways. You know, I know that's pretty broad, but it's all going to be, you know, what Happy wants to do in Happy's moment.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing to watch. That is the starting lineup for Can-Am Race number 1. I see a guy back here. I gotta bug him for a sec. Sean, what's going on? And NBC Radio.
NBC Sports Radio, that's right. Sean Sullivan, I'm the local affiliate here in Florida. So glad to be here. I'm sure you guys are. You're enjoying this nice, cool weather.
Amazing. This is beautiful weather. You've even got your shorts on, you lucky dude.
I do. I have shorts on, but I have a pair of pants in the bag just in case, so, and some foul weather gear. But we're not hoping for that today. Today we're hoping for great weather and great racing.
Absolutely. We're going to get that tonight here at the racetrack. What time do you guys hit the air? Are you going to be on the air tonight?
Yes, we are. We're going to start at 4 o'clock, and we're going to go right up to the MRN probably, or close to the MRN broadcast. As soon as they get ready to go on, we'll go off, as that's the contractual law. So we'll do that. We're excited. I can't wait for racing.
How do fans tune into it?
Today, you can tune in live at, RacingNationRadio.com, and you'll get us live.
That is the easiest way to do it. Sean, you guys have a great night.
Yeah, you too, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. That's Sean. He's pumped up.
He is. But everybody is. Look, you know, there's such an energy around this fan zone here.
Yeah, it is. You know what we're going to get into? Duel number 2.
Can-Am Duel number 2.
But we're going to do that after the break. We got to take a quick break here. Got to remind you, all of our live broadcasting from Daytona International Speedway, all brought to you by ConnectsToShare. A new app. You got to check this out, whether it's text, whether it's email, send in pictures, send in video. And, oh, by the way, you can live stream video off of your Connects to Share and share it to your whole group. Get Connects to Share today. Start yourself a group. You'll see exactly what I mean. Pretty cool app, and we want to thank them for their participation here at Daytona International Speedway. We're going to hit a break. More with Nick Moncher and myself, Joe Chisholm, when we come back.
All aboard! I.
Champion Power Equipment is a market leader in power generation equipment. Designed and engineered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Champion's product line has expanded to now include dual-fuel portable generators and inverters, home standby generators with whole house technology, V-twin engines, winches, log splitters, and more. With over 2.5 million generators sold in North America, Champion is a market leader. For a full listing of products, visit championpowerequipment.com. Champion Power Equipment, powering your life.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. London Recreational, enjoy life to the fullest at home in your own paradise. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Hi, I'm Ron Bennington.
And Fez Watley.
The Ron and Fez Show on SiriusXM. Talks with the greatest minds in comedy and entertainment. Seth Rogen.
I feel like pot dealers are really taking a hit for society. Everyone wants weed, but no one wants to hang out with them.
Kevin Smith.
Once we sold Clerks, we were owned by Disney. Somebody would hand me a ticket with Mickey Mouse picture on the front of it, tell me my travel arrangements. Well, I feel like I work for a mouse. And I've never regretted it.
The Ron and Fez Show. Weekdays at noon East. SiriusXM Comedy Hits 99.
Or listen on the SiriusXM app.
Words you don't want to hear when you're racing.
Our flames rolling out big.
Shut it down, get out of it.
But if you do, you'll need the ultimate in fire protection. For over 30 years, Leaf Racewear and Safety Equipment has been manufacturing high-quality, fire-resistant driver suits, undergarments, gloves, and shoes. With a full line of seatbelt harness systems, fuel your passion and confidence. Leaf Racewear ships worldwide. Get the ultimate in protection. Visit LeafRacewear.com.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock.
We must be in heaven, man!
Come on!
On Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25,
Classic Rewind
brings you the second generation. Classic rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On SiriusXM.
Tickets are moving fast for the Daytona 500 on Sunday, February 21st, and it's your one chance to be a part of the biggest race in a generation. The all-new Daytona is 31 million pounds of steel, forged by racing's greatest legends in the heat of battle for the most coveted trophy in NASCAR. The 2016 Daytona 500. Now, forever. Seats at the all-new Daytona will sell out. Guarantee yours now at 1-800-PITCHOP or Daytona500.com.
Connects to Share is a new mobile application designed to be a one-stop for all digital communication. Join the first social media network built for mobile and send private messages by text, voice, picture, or video. Build a private group for secure communications or public groups to build a following. Connects to Share even offers live streaming. Business accounts include access to the first ever e-shopping platform in a social media network. Go to connectstoshare.com. Download Connects to Share from your Apple or Google Play store for free today. Share life as you live it with Connects to Share.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's not on. How about that? We are
there
back
you
with you live from today. Nick, it happened to me this time, not you.
I'm glad it was you for once and not me.
That's the first time, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Hey, before we start talking about...
You're going to interview the other Canadian, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I got... Spotter Deluxe. I'm not even going to introduce
him. Spotter Extraordinaire.
I'm not
even
going to.
Deluxe.
No, I'm not going to introduce. I'll tell you his initials. JG. I'll give you JG.
I know, because he's got a form in that pocket right there he wants me to pay for.
And listen to this voice and tell me if you know who it is. You having fun?
Always having fun. We're here in Florida. There's no snow. What can't you like?
Jeff Gottlieb. Yeah, that's who it is, Junior. Jeff, what's going on? Beautiful day at Daytona. Are you here on official business? You doing any spotting this weekend?
No spotting, just getting caught up with the boys here at GMS and getting set for this year and just hanging out.
How's Jason Hathaway doing? Are you guys, you're on his team, obviously. You're his spotter. How are the plans coming for the Pinty series with that number three?
Good. Everything's coming in place for that. I know my portion with the HGC, the Harman Group, we're going to be back this year, and things are starting to come together pretty good. And before you know it, we'll be ready to roll out for some practice.
You guys win your first road course win last year at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. What a party that was.
That was huge. You know, that's definitely one of the ones not only for the year as a great memory, but something that you won't forget for some time. That was an awesome day.
It just makes you want to repeat it all over again. You guys kick it off May long weekend, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. Maybe you can repeat in this spring race. That'd be fun.
That'd be great. He's had a couple good starts there. Been slowly been getting better and better on the road courses. But for me personally, as a spotter, you feel helpless because you just see a couple corners and they're gone. So I know for me personally, it's your hands are really tied. But I know as everyone as a team and Jason as a driver, he's really got better on the road courses. So it should be a good year all in all.
That kick in his butt has started to pay off. That's what it is, Jeff.
Absolutely. Definitely looking forward to it. And then also myself, I'm looking forward to getting together with the boys here at GMS. We got some races lined up that I'll be spotting for them. And what better way to kick everything off down here in Daytona?
You got her, bud. Man, you couldn't get hooked up with a better team, too. Nick, kind of a tough guy, though, to deal with at times.
It was kind of funny. We talked a number of times on the phone and by email, and I was in the 23 hauler yesterday morning, and he came up in the lounge, and first time we ever met face-to-face was yesterday, so it was kind of good to put a face to the name and you know, start that contact, and it was just good to get down here and seeing everyone.
Well, I'll tell you what, you'd fit those guys like a glove too, but I can hear Jason up in Canada right now. Don't you be taking him when I need him. That's all.
He's our Canadian advantage for when we have to go to Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in August. You know, he knows all about it.
Your advantage is the American dollar right now, trust me. I'll tell you. It kind of hurt coming down here this year, but it's well worth it. Daytona International Speedway on a beautiful day. Can-Am race is coming up tonight. We got Can-Am race lineup number one is done. What do you say we take a look at race number two? Do you got a favorite in number one? I better get your pick for race number one before we move on to two.
Man, it's tough because it's a strong, strong field. And, you know, I think teammates are going to be real crucial in that race. So, but I think, honestly, that Austin Dillon will pull it out. I think that'd be my pick.
Austin Dillon, and you know Austin quite well. He's driven trucks with you guys. Do you see a different Austin Dillon since he damn near went out of the ballpark here?
I see a very focused Austin Dillon. He, you know, not to say that he wasn't before, but today you see him and, you know, he's got the eyes, the stare. He has one thing on his mind, and it's that next text, the hand in that number three car. And I think that's, you know, just from his years of experience, you know, his truck championship and then his Xfinity championship, but also just, you know, things like happened last year, you know, with that bad wreck. He just needs to be, you know, focused on everything at any given time, and I think he's really learned how to harness that.
Yeah, and the rhetoric, I guess, from when he and Ty stepped into NASCAR and all the undertone, and it wasn't everybody, it was only some, but even that undertone should be gone by now. These boys have earned
they've
respect.
Proven it. Yeah, they've yeah. proven that they belong here. They've proven that they earned that spot, and they weren't just given it. And, you know, a lot of people knew that from day one that they had earned it. And, I mean, heck, you look at their past, and they've proven it, you know, time and time again. But there's always those people that are really loud, and they're always louder than you, so you have to listen to them for a while. But I think they've kind of all seen now, hey, yeah, the Dillon boys, they're a force to be reckoned with.
Okay, so Austin Dillon is going to be Nick's choice in race number one. Now, race number two,
well,
Nick.
What is your choice?
Oh, well, let me see. Okay,
too.
Let me.
You put me on the spot.
Okay, well, let me see here. Who am I going to, you know what? I'm going to take a Ford running team. I am going to take Joey Logano. I think Joey Logano.
Solid pick.
He was second in the Sprint Unlimited. Looked like the 22 was wicked quick. And you know what? Something can be said for somebody that's won at Daytona. He won the Daytona 500 last year. It seems to be contagious. If you win once, it seems to happen more than once.
And his teammates close, that keeping that whole mantra alive. You know, Brad Keselowski is starting 10th in row number 5. So I think that once they get hooked up, there'll be a freight train to the front.
Now, Brad, when I look back to the Sprint Unlimited, he had that geyser shooting out of the car. It was overheating.
small piece of trash, or was it overheating before that trash got on there? Can you remember?
I think it was a small piece of trash. And you know, these things, including the Xfinity cars and the trucks, are so finicky when it comes to that grill area here, because you have everything so tight-knit. You have everything so closed off. You don't want air to get anywhere it's not supposed to be, but you want air to get where it needs to be. But you have, the more tape you have in that grill, the faster speed you have. So therefore, well, hey. But when you're in the draft, temperatures are spiked 10, 12, 15 degrees automatically. So when you start going around in a pack like that and you get one little hot dog wrapper, one little cracker wrapper, whatever it is, all of a sudden you just see it go all the way up.
Yeah, you can't get no air in there. And to get that trash off, we've seen a lot of times where they'll drive right up on the rear deck of someone and that negative air pressure seems to pull that off. It doesn't work all the time, though, right?
Nope, it doesn't work every time. You know, it probably works 3/4 of the time, but you also have to get a lot of help from the guy in front of you. So, boy, if you guys are, you know, enemies, that's probably not going to be in your favor.
No, you're not going to get working together too well. Okay, let's take a look at the starting lineup for Can-Am Duel race number 2 here tonight at Daytona International Speedway. Starting on the pole. Is that? Yeah, I guess it's right. But no, it can't be. I got to flip this
over.
No, it's
a little jumbled up there.
That's exactly. Okay, now we've got it. I almost had Jamie McMurray starting on the pole.
I don't remember Jamie being starting on the pole, but good for him.
Me neither. That's why I had to do a double take. Okay, here we go. Row number 1, right on the pole, is going to be the number 20 of Matt Kenseth. To his outside, the 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup champion, the 18 of Kyle Busch. Those two guys side by side, again, teammates.
Teammates.
Imagine that.
It all pans out in the end, and as we look down and we get through this list here in a minute, even more Joe Gibbs Racing teammates are really close. So I think it's going to be the same kind of thing with Chase, is, you know, help those guys as much as you can. If things go south, get out of there in a hurry.
Yeah, and you'll have to do that in a real hurry. Unlike the guys in Can-Am Race number 1 for Hendrick, you got 3 over there. Jimmy Johnson's going to be by himself in this second round. He is going to start on row number 2, to the inside, and to his outside, the number 4, or pardon me, the number 19 of Carl Edwards. So another JGR car, like you say, not too far
not
behind.
Too far.
In row number 3, the 41 car of Kurt Busch, and in right beside him, the number 13 of Casey Mears. Those two guys there, side by side, probably would work better nose to tail than they are side by side, wouldn't they?
They really would, but you know, if you look at it and you row 2 with Jimmy, and then you go to row 3 and you have Kurt and Casey, they're both Chevrolet cars, and then once we get to row 4 here, there's some more Chevrolet cars. So while they're not on the same team, they're in the same manufacturer camp, and you can guarantee that they'll at least work together to get all those Chevrolets up front.
In row number 4, the number 31 had some trouble last night. I believe he has gone to a backup car.
Yes, he has.
And will that affect his starting spot here?
Yeah, I believe he'll have to start in the rear for going to a backup car for the duel.
Okay, but for the pace lap, you're going to see the number 31 of Ryan Newman. Beside him, the Cheerios entry for Circle Sport Levine Family Racing, the number 95 of Ty Dillon, will roll off in row number 4. Row number 5, the 43 car, Eric Armarola.
Say that 3 times fast.
I can't. But Eric, another threat to win here at this racetrack. That number 43 car in victory lane, that would be kind of cool to see.
It would be really iconic.
To his outside, the number 1 of Jamie McMurray. He would have liked the way I had it starting before. Jamie would have went for it.
He probably really liked that.
But he's back in row number 5 to the outside. Row number 6, the number 42 of Kyle Larson. Also a little bit of damage last night, if I do remember correctly.
Just a little bit. I don't think they had to go to a backup car or anything like that, but I think they definitely had to work on it and tweak it a little bit this morning.
So the 42 of Larson is in row number 6. To his outside, the number 93, Matt DiBenedetto, is already locked into the field. He's got a star beside his name, but he is already locked in. Tonight is all about moving up in that starting lineup for
exactly.
The Daytona 500 for the number 93 team. You can bet that that team is going to be trying to get all they can get without wrecking that car.
Absolutely. They want to move themselves as close to the front as they can for the start of the big race on Sunday.
In row number 7, a guy that, well, there was no coffee break for these guys. I can guarantee it. I know they went to a backup car. The number 83 of Michael Waltrip. Guy's won the Daytona 500 twice. Knows how to get it done. He's won a truck race here. Or maybe even a couple truck races. I remember the one.
I remember the one for Vision Racing, for sure.
Yeah, and the spoiler on the right side.
That's why I remember that one.
Me too. It's funny how you remember things. In row number 7, to the outside, the number 10, Danica Patrick. We haven't heard a lot from Danica this week, but what I have... She looks a lot more relaxed this year.
She does. And I think, you know, that was just a product of finding out that GoDaddy was going to go do something different this year. And, you know, she didn't really know. There was a lot of what ifs for her. You know, was she going to stay at Stewart House Racing? Was she going to go somewhere else? Was she going to be racing at all this year? You know, a lot of people didn't talk about that because she's such a mainstay in the sport. But that was a reality for her. So she's locked in now. She can be back in that 10 car all year. So I think she will be a lot more relaxed and comfortable.
Row number 8, you're going to see the 47 of A.J. Allmendinger. The Dinger is going to roll off 15th to his outside. The number 46 of Michael Annette. He'll have that Flying J car just a flying, he hopes. He's going to have to, right?
He's going to have to. He's one of those cars that doesn't have a charter.
When we look into row number 9, we're going to see the number 38 of Landon Castle. We're used to seeing Landon in a 40, but he's not in the 40 anymore. He's in the number 38 for... That is Front Row Motorsports, isn't it? Yeah,
yes,
38.
It is.
Yeah. To Landon's outside, the number 26, it's a one-time race only so far right now for Robert Richardson Jr. How do you think he's going to make out?
It's good to see him back. You know, he hasn't been around in quite some time. He, you know, ran Xfinity and even a little bit of Cup there a couple years ago. So I think he'll be good. Definitely a solid top 15 finish for him.
In row number 10, we see the number 35 of David Gilliland, and to his outside is the number 40 tonight. It's going to be driven by Reed Sorensen for Mike Hillman Racing. In row number 11, and it's the final row for Can-Am Duel number 2, the number 78 of Martin Truex Jr. To his outside, filling in for an ailing Tony Stewart, is the number 14 tonight. We're going to see Brian Vickers in that race car. No sign of any rust on Brian Vickers. That guy looked good.
He got right back into it. You know, he proved that just because he was down out with a health injury the last couple of years, you know, he didn't lose anything, and he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Brian can make out here tonight in this duel. Already locked in. 36 cars are locked in. 2 from time makes it 38. We got 2 spots up for grabs tonight. Who do you think out of all those... Go homers. Who do you think we're going to see locked in tonight after the duels?
I think McDowell will definitely be locked in as one of them. And man, I don't know in that other one. That's a tough call. It's going to be anybody's game.
Like, you know, if you look at last year and who out of that list was good at this racetrack that maybe doesn't have a charter, I got to look at the number 40. Reed Sorensen is a driver that can get it done. That 40 car here last year, with Landon Castle behind the wheel, he raced right up into the fourth slot. He was doing really good and then popped the motor. I think it was a motor that let go on him and let the air out of it. But you know what? Landon in that 40, and I believe that's why you see those guys here. They got a good race car for Super Speedway.
They've got a good Super Speedway piece for sure. And I misspoke. I said Annette didn't have a charter, and he does.
He does,
so
yes.
So I think, you know, Reed is a good choice for that spot.
It's going to be interesting, I'll tell you that. You don't want to miss the duels tonight, and the truck race is going to follow those duels tomorrow night.
Yep.
Under the lights here at Daytona. Still lots more to talk about. Not all that much time, but we do have to slide out and take a quick break here on Racetime Radio. We will come back live from Daytona International Speedway, all presented by Connects to Share. Get to ConnectsToShare.com and have a look at that app. Download it to your phone, to your Android, to your iPhone. Check it out. Unbelievable. You'll be glad you did. And don't forget to follow Racetime Radio on that group when you pull that Connects to Share down onto your phone. Nick Muncher and I are going to be back from Daytona in just mere moments. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. This is Brendan Nidero, driver of the number 24 Lucas Oil Sports and Cup Car, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Champion Power Equipment is a market leader in power generation equipment.
Designed and engineered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Champion's product line has expanded to now include dual-fuel portable generators and inverters, home standby generators with whole house technology, V-twin engines, winches, log splitters, and more. With over 2.5 million generators sold in North America, Champion is a market leader. For a full listing of products, visit championpowerequipment.com. Champion Power Equipment, powering your life. Just imagine an app that has all your favorite features and functions in your social media networks without the rules and regulations that apply. It gives you a secure environment to communicate, to send messages, pictures, video, and live streaming. The Connects to Share mobile app is all that and more. The Connects to Share mobile app is custom designed for iPhone and Android and allows you to integrate your social media networks. The future is in your hands. Download Connects to Share.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Sirius XM's Radio Classics has dramas from the golden age of radio.
Shadow Nose.
Escape.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
From mysteries.
I know many strange tales.
Mystery is my hobby.
To sci-fi.
Countdown for blast-offs.
Adventures in time and space.
Dramas from the golden age of radio.
Evil lurks in the heart.
Radio Classics, Sirius XM 82.
Come on in.
London Recreational has transformed backyards with custom-designed reinforced concrete pools and spas with features like self-cleaning systems, natural stone construction with fully tiled interiors, top-of-the-line equipment. Enjoy life to the fullest at home. In your very own paradise. Explore the possibilities. And challenge our skills. We guarantee your backyard will be the envy of the neighborhood. Visit us online at londonrecreational.com. Speed Weeks 2016 begins right here.
Yeah, I'm excited about the year. Really glad to be in Daytona.
Join Racetime Radio Live for pre-race coverage from Daytona International Speedway.
Looking forward to getting in the car, actually turning some laps and mashing the gas.
All presented by Connects to Share. Share life as you live it. We'll get you set.
We can get away with what we can't get away with, you know?
Get to racetimeradio.com for details and to listen live worldwide.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
Words you don't want to hear when you're racing.
Our flames rolling up big.
Shut it down, get out of it.
But if you do, you'll need the ultimate in fire protection. For over 30 years, Leaf Racewear and Safety Equipment has been manufacturing high-quality, fire-resistant driver suits, undergarments, gloves, and shoes. With a full line of seatbelt harness systems, fuel your passion and confidence. Leaf Racewear ships worldwide. Get the ultimate in protection. Visit LeafRacewear.com.
Everybody, you're safe.
As a public service, Racetime Radio salutes the folks back home.
Warm thoughts. Warm thoughts.
What?
It's a matter of mind over matter. See, I want to think real warm thoughts.
Now, live from Daytona Beach, it's Racetime Radio.
And now, live from Daytona Beach,
the speed capital of the world,
it's Racetime Radio.
And your host, Joe Chisholm.
And Nick Muncher.
And that's me.
Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Live today from Daytona International Speedway. It's the Sprint Fan Zone. We're holding down stage one. A little bit of wind coming through here every now and then. Nick Muncher along for today's broadcast. Of course, general manager of GMS Racing. Busy guys come tomorrow. They've been busy all day, actually, but... Come tomorrow, Nick. It's going to get real busy. You got three teams. You got Grant Enfinger in the 33. We've got the 23 of Spencer Gallagher. And, of course, the number 21 truck this year has got smoky snuff on the side of it there. And Johnny Sauter behind the wheel. You have crafted yourself three outstanding race teams this year.
At any given time this year, any three of our trucks will be able to win. And that's what we went into this season with our as being our goal. So we knew... You know, with Johnny kind of as the veteran, and with Grant as the newcomer, but with the ARCA championship and a ton of wins in the ARCA series under his belt, and with Spencer, who's got the ARCA wins and who's got a ton of seat time in the trucks, and who proves he has zero fear out on the track, you know, that they will combine to be a really strong unit.
Oh, yeah, and the information transfer. Now, we've talked about the drivers. We've talked about that aspect. Who have we got on top of the pit boxes calling the shots, so to speak, for each one of those teams?
On the 21 truck, which is Johnny Sauter's truck, is Marcus Richmond. You've most recently seen Marcus at Red Horse Racing. That's where he was last year with Timothy Peters. On the 23 truck, which is Spencer Gallagher's truck, you have Jeff Hensley. Last year, he was on the ThorSport Racing truck of Cameron Haley.
Yes, it was.
A man from up in your neck of the woods. And then on the 33 truck, Grandin Fingers truck, will be Jeff Stankiewicz, who was Spencer's crew chief last year in the truck series. The year before that, he was Joey Coulter's crew chief with our team at GMS Racing. But I think most notably about Jeff is he filled in for Grant in all of his ARCA races last year. About 13 out of the 20 that we ran, you know, Jeff was the crew chief. We had six wins with Jeff. We won the championship, you know, under his tutelage. So I think that chemistry with Grant and Jeff is going to, you know, put them right at the top with these other guys.
And are you the go-between amongst those three? What's a competition meeting look like at GMS?
The competition meetings is led pretty much by our competition director, Mike Beam. You know, Mike came to the team almost a year and a half ago now. He's got a ton of experience under his belt. He worked for, you know, legendary names, Junior Johnson, Bill Elliott. He worked for Roush for a number of years, helped him on their truck program and their Xfinity program. You know, he helped Athenian Motorsports get to where they are today with John West Townley. So, you know, Mike really leads the whole competition aspect. He, you know, if there's a setup, if there's a widget, or if there's something getting changed, or a truck's on one of our pull-down machines and something's happened to it, you know, he knows about it, and he's the one leading the way for it, making sure all the crew chiefs are on the same page, all the engineers are on the same page, and then ultimately the drivers know. You know, where I kind of come in is I'm in the background over the business side of things, and I work with him on all the NASCAR stuff, all our driver's paperwork, all you name it, and it's really a cohesive unit where we work together.
Yeah, and you guys are centered at Statesville, North Carolina. You're not that far from Charlotte. That whole area in there really is, it's all racing, whether it's Mooresville, Statesville, all the way around there.
Oh, pretty much. Anything right on, you know, Interstate 77, north or south, is part of the racing capital there, North Carolina. But the cool thing about the area we're in, when we moved up to Statesville, North Carolina, over a year ago now, we took over the old Everham Petty buildings that they had built there. The first building was actually the original Bill Elliott shop when he moved from Hickory, which was from, and then before that was in Dawsonville, Georgia. So we have those three buildings up there. We actually lease one to TriStar Motorsports, which they compete in the Xfinity Series. And then right down the road, just two buildings down, BKR is there now. They took over the old Morgan Dollar Truck Series team shop. They built onto it. They made this beautiful facility. And then actually BK Racing took over one of the buildings. They run all their pit practice out, which is in between our building and BK Racing, or BKR. And then right down the road, you have Front Row Motorsports. So, you know, Statesville's really kind of booming in the racing world. You see Mooresville is doing the same thing. You know, H. Scott Motorsports just moved to Mooresville from Spartanburg, South Carolina. So that was a big bump to the economy. And, you know, racing's doing well in North Carolina for sure.
Yeah, that's the way you want to have it. And it's kind of handy when you got the other team sort of around you, if there's anything that you need. Or you guys share a lot of stuff back and forth, not just information, but I can well imagine that tools would come into transfer mode every now and then.
It's kind of, you know, like asking your neighbor for a cup of sugar, you know, especially when we had all that nasty weather the last couple of weeks. And if the parts trucks couldn't get around, or anybody couldn't get to something, or they were closed, you know, we weren't opposed to going down to BKR, knocking the door, say, hey, we need a couple bolts, and, you know, vice versa for them. And, you know, we all work together to a degree for sure.
Yeah, amazing. We've got a lot of trucks that are going to participate tomorrow in qualifying here at Daytona. We've got, 43
trucks.
43
trucks. Ready for final practice right now, actually about 15 minutes.
Only 32 trucks are actually going to make the field. So you got to do it here on time, correct?
Yep, absolutely. We've passed that point where a rainout would set it on the points. Everybody's practiced. So you'll see some more practicing here in about 15 minutes for our last 55-minute practice session. And it's going to be all about speed. And tomorrow afternoon when qualifying hits off, it's going to be all single car runs. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in about 15 minutes here when that practice session starts, you see everybody make at least one more single car run before they go into drafting. Because while drafting is, you know, extremely crucial and important because that's what the race is all about, hey, you still got to get into that race. And to do that, you got to make a single car run.
Yeah, you do. And then NASCAR Sprint Cup, we don't hear the words provisional anymore. We've got the charter system set up. There's 36 guaranteed starters. You've got four open teams. That's pretty self-explanatory. After you leave Daytona, you're going to start to see that group qualifying four get in through that, and that will make up your race. In the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, we've got a lot of new things happening. First, we got a caution clock that is going to come into play. We'll talk about that in a second. We've also got the new sprint, the new chase style format to the championship. But provisionals, Nick, are still going to come into play with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Explain that.
Absolutely. You know, Truck Series and in the Xfinity Series, the provisionals hasn't changed. You know, all those other things that you just mentioned have, but still pretty much the same. So right now, Daytona and then Atlanta and then Martinsville are based off of 2015 points. So if we went into a weekend and everything just rained out and, you know, we had to start the race as is, we would base it off the points for 2015. So now once you get into practice, and this is stuff is extremely complicated, so I may get some of it wrong, so I apologize. But once you get into practice, after everybody's practiced, if you were to ever rain out or something were to happen, you would then go by your practice speeds. So then you go into qualifying, and if, God forbid, something happened to you in qualifying, they take everybody who made a lap, and they put them there, and then they have the last couple spots, which is 27th to 32nd, and they call them the provisional spots. And then they base them off of your points, which would be from this weekend would be off 2015, and then after Martinsville would be 2016, and then they go down the list there. So, for instance, the 33 truck is 26th in points because we have acquired points from the 50 Make Motorsports truck from 2015 because there was no points on that truck. So we are the last ones that would be technically, air quote, locked in.
Gotcha.
So, but if there was a couple guys in front of us that had a bad time and we had a bad time, we'd have to sit there and bite our nails because they might take one of those last spots. And then, just to really make it interesting, they still have the past champions provisional.
Huh.
So I think Travis Quappel is the only guy here that is a past champion that's racing in this race. So, but looking at the speed charts, he may need to use it. So it's just another little faction there that kind of changes everything up.
Yeah, because the 33 did run, the 21 did run, and the 23 did run. So you do have points out of all three of those,
so
correct?
So the 21 only ran one race last year, ran Las Vegas with Brendan Poole on a deal we worked out with Chip Ganassi Racing.
Right.
So the 23 and the 33 did run full-time last year. So when we went to doing all this, we tried to get a good jump start on it. Obviously, we started right around Homestead time. And the plans for our 33 truck weren't known yet. We were still trying to figure it out. You know, we just finished with the ARCA championship.
Yeah.
There was an option for us to stay in ARCA. So we really weren't sure. So just to make sure everything was kosher on our end, we moved the 33 points over to the 21. So Sauter would be squared away. Spencer kept his points for the 23. And we kind of went about our business. Now, once we got going and the 33 started to get rolling, we're like, oh boy, now what?
Yeah, we got to secure a grant.
So, you know, and in this day and age, it's not so much about having it to locked in. Because like I just said, you know, you almost have to be some kind of scholar to figure this stuff out on any given weekend, especially with all the different factions of things happening. But it's the rain. You know, we hit a rain a ton last year just at inopportune times. And then there's always that Martinsville where it seems you always have that, you know, thing that goes wrong, can go wrong at Martinsville. And that's just our third and final race in 2015 points. So we went ahead and did a deal with Make Motorsports and Mark Beaver over there and took their 50 points, moved them over to the 33 truck for Grant.
Yeah, that's a big move and kind of a risky one too, right? Because you could have no trouble and the guys just make it in for the next three shows and then all of a sudden you're all okay.
How much do you like playing craps?
That's exactly what it comes down to. You got to roll the dice, especially here at Daytona. One other thing I want to say, Nick, is normally what we see is these trucks, and they do a beautiful job prepping these trucks and having them here to Daytona, and we see a great race here. We usually see some get tore up in the process of that. But it's never really too much of a problem because in the past years, the trucks have left Daytona and we'll see you guys in about a month and a half or maybe 2 months before the next race. That isn't so anymore. You guys are racing again next weekend in Atlanta.
Absolutely. That was something that came about last year. And the only I would say the only saving grace is your Daytona truck isn't the truck you would take to Atlanta no matter what.
Right.
So your Super Speedway truck, while all these trucks look the same, the bodies are a little bit different on each and every one, and so on and so forth. So we wouldn't use that again until October for Talladega. So knock on wood, we'll just wait, you know, midsummer and get whatever we need to get fixed. So actually, our guys already have all their Atlanta stuff done. That was kind of a big thing for us is when we get back from Daytona, you're going to have 2 or 3 days in the shop. You don't want to spend it thrashing on your Atlanta truck. You want to, you know, have time to just tweak on it and to tear down your Daytona stuff properly, to do your post races, to do everything you need to do, make sure we're set for that first intermediate race. And so all our guys have been working, you know, crazy hours and working extra hard. But, you know, our shop guys, got to give them a shout out. They've done a phenomenal job. They're working today. They'll probably be working tomorrow and Saturday just to make sure everything's squared away.
So not everybody's here at Daytona. You do have lots of guys back at the shop doing the deal.
We have a full crew back at the shop, from our finish fab department to our paint department to our machinists to our mechanics that work out on the shop floor. And then we also have a whole crew up at the Levitt GMS shop who's, you know, building chassis, building jigs, building front and rear clips and components, and you name it, they're doing that. And then our body shop, same thing. You know, as fast as they can get Chevrolet body parts in, they're pumping out bodies. So all those guys right now, they're working really hard at the shop, and they'll be working, like I said, hard throughout the weekend. I'm sure they'll take a break tomorrow night to watch our race, but, you know, we couldn't do it without them.
And so much for the little shop and so much for the little team. Those are days gone by, correct?
Those are days gone by. Days gone by from our 10,000 square foot shop a couple of years ago, where we were, you know, nose to tail with every one of our trucks and our Urca cars. But, you know, it's been really good progression. It's been solid, healthy progression. We've done it what I feel like is the right way. And we've really, you know, helped build our team to what it is now and where we want to go in the future.
Want to ask you, too, of course, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park has the Silverado 250, and it comes up Labor Day weekend up in Canada. I want to ask you about that race. When do those road course trucks get prepped? Do you have them now, or are they going to be new pieces? What do you guys got planned for that? And do teams that come up to Canada, are they all looking at maybe building road course-specific trucks? I know when they initially came to Canada, it was sort of recycle what we've got, and we'll use that short track truck and make it into a road course truck. Are those days gone?
Those days are long gone.
That's what I thought.
When we first went there, we were actually one of the only teams that had a road course specific truck, because when we had done our alliance with RCR Racing, they had road course trucks left in their stable from when, you know, the truck series ran before that. So we've since grown on there. We actually have one truck, road course truck, that's got a brand new body on it, sitting there ready to go. You know, they'll get to it probably in July, start working on it, getting the parts and pieces and the motor and everything put into it. And then we have another one that is just getting body work done. It's in the rotation. So once we get into this lull void here kind of after Atlanta, that'll probably get in there just to get it out of the way. And then we have to build one new one just to make sure that we have one for our third team.
Wow, lots to it, isn't there?
Absolutely. So, you know, when people see these trucks, and even for the Cup cars and the Xfinity cars, you know, they are specific to tracks still. You still have your Super Speedway cars, you'll still have your road course cars and trucks, your short track, your intermediate, and, you know, every one of them is a little bit different.
How would and you'd be a perfect guy to ask, there's some high level Canadian race teams that have really done well on the short tracks and on the road courses. They may not even be on the short tracks, they may have an oval track, or pardon me, a road course background, and be real good at it, and it kind of intrigues them when they see the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series coming up here. Is it possible for some of those upper enchilot sort of guys to get a ride for when the trucks do come in?
Oh, absolutely. There's a number of teams that have a couple good options open, and there's even some teams that, you know, who aren't really focused on a driver's championship. They're focused more on an owner's championship. So it gives them kind of that opportunity, like we used to see in the Cup Series, when the Cup guys would step out and your Boris Seds of the world and your Ron Fellows of the world would come in and race. So those examples still exist today. You'll see a lot, you know, more of that as we get closer to the race, especially if, you know, one of those guys has a little bit of sponsorship money where it can really just kind of help fill that gap. You know, it's a perfect fit. you know, I've been saying since we've gone, I'm surprised, you know, Andrew Ranger hasn't. He used to go to New Jersey and kick our butts in the ARCA car for like 4 years in a row. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to one day see him at it.
Well, you know, I think back, and Andrew Ranger, the first year the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series came to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, Andrew Ranger did jump into that race. He did set fast time in a Dodge truck, of all trucks to be setting it in. It was an older Dodge truck. And if I remember correctly, when I look back, I think the only two Dodge trucks that were in the field that particular year were Jennifer Jo Cobb and Andrew Ranger. And, man, did they have that Dodge flying around that track.
It doesn't matter what Andrew gets in. Every time I see him at a road course, he is just flying. It was a couple of years ago. We had a seat open in one of our ARCA cars, and we had a team meeting. I said, let's call Andrew Ranger. He's proven time and time again that he knows what he's doing on these road courses, and we're going to New Jersey where he's won, but he already had a ride, so we couldn't get him.
Well, guys like J.R. Fitzpatrick, another one that has owned Canadian Tire Motorsport Park from a NASCAR Canadian Tire Series standpoint, now the NASCAR Pinty Series. J.R. Fitzpatrick is another one that really should find a get his butt into one of those trucks. We've seen him here at Daytona in a truck. He's driven Xfinity Nationwide back in the day. He's another one. There's so many good competitors that I would really like to see sort of jump in and mix it up with the guys that are in trucks all the time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I would love to see that diversification come into the series and the sport a little more. And I think, you know, those guys start knocking on doors and making phone calls nonstop, they'll get there. I think the biggest thing nowadays is there's such a flood, you know, there's people calling and sending resumes and all sorts of stuff all the time. It's how do you keep up with it? Well, if you were to get a phone call from, Fitzpatrick or Ranger or anybody like that, and you says, hey, I'm interested in Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, like, huh, light bulb.
It's
an easy transition there.
Right, because you know the name and you know they've got some history. Nick, you know what? We're climbing up right on top of the top of the hour, and we are going to have to cut everyone loose here from Daytona, but man, it's been great these last few days. Edge on the broadcast Sunday, we had a good time at the Daytona Beach Resort Reflections Bar. That was a lot of fun. Champion came on board and supported us on that. Grand Enfinger, all of that, all we talked about is all going to come right to a head right here tomorrow at Daytona International Speedway for the trucks.
Absolutely. The big day is tomorrow. First race of Speed Weeks, like I like to refer to it as, tomorrow night truck race. So, and you got a lot of more live broadcasts still to go. You have tomorrow and on Saturday. So.
Absolutely. We are going to be with you live again tomorrow right here from the World Center of Racing. We will be live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And again on Saturday, we are going to be live from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, and that is, of course, all of our live broadcast coverage is presented by Connects to Share right here at Daytona International Speedway. But Nick Montcher, thank you so much for jumping in here today. You're always a wealth of information, and I know you're going to get real busy. Hopefully you can drop back in and join us again.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you guys need someone to sit here and fill some airspace, I can probably do that. I like to talk, so.
Well, you do a dynamite job with it. We can hear the trucks hitting the racetrack, so we know it's got to be getting close to the top of the hour. Flick it to Fox Sports 1. Hopefully you can catch this truck practice. It is final practice for the trucks.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Until 4:55 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, cross your fingers. Hopefully everything goes well for GMS.
Absolutely.
Out there.
I want to get this done with and get out of here for the day and go focus on qualifying tomorrow.
Well, that's going to do it for us here at Daytona. Got to thank Sue back in the Racetime Radio studio for hooking us up. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you tweet out to everyone to tune in tomorrow. And we will catch you live from Daytona International Speedway again, 2 p.m. tomorrow, all presented by Connects to Share. Thanks so much, everybody. Enjoy the races tonight. The Can-Am Duels coming at you, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. A message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384.
We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy.